we talk about missions, you know, what we sang about faithfulness. We're talking about faithful pastors. You know, it's unfortunate that so many people are stepping down from the ministry. And pray for me that I don't become a statistic. Because that's all it is. People are stepping down every day, and all you are is you become a statistic. And I don't want to become that. I think it's amazing. I'm lost for words. I do appreciate everything you guys do for us. And I know Matt does as well. It's amazing how, like me and Greg talk about in his Sunday school class, the things that he talks about there, and then when I come up here and we talk about what we're talking about on Sunday morning, they coincide with each other. They touch on the same topics. And I think it's amazing how the Spirit works in and through a service. And if you stop and look at how God does that, it's amazing. You know, Barry Williams was here last week, and he did a fantastic job of kicking off our missions emphasis month, and I know it seemed a little bit of doom and gloom. But facts sometimes can be sad. Facts sometimes can be, we have more churches that are closing their doors than are opening up. We have more pastors that are coming off the mission field. More pastors are stepping down than are going to school to be a pastor. I mean, those are the facts. And I know that sounds kind of doomish and gloomish, and I do want to clear up something. I did get some questions about if the missions are misappropriating all the mission funds, why are we supporting them? Amen? That's a good question. Very valid. I'll give you that. So what happens is, and this is one of the reasons why we elect good leadership. That's why you pray for your pastor, you elect good leadership, you pray for your leadership, your deacons, your trustees, all of those types of people, because they have an important role of accountability. Amen? Okay. So, as we go through that, what has happened is there's, in some organizations, and we try not to deal with those organizations, some organizations don't deal with the finances properly. And so what we do is we try to find missionaries who are going to the mission field, who every bit of our money is going to support them. So like BEMA. That's Barry Williams. He belongs to BEMA. Calvin Hauser, our missionary to the Philippines, right? You know him? I hope you do. He's here this year. He's still on deputation. Matter of fact, pray for him. He's unable to go back on the mission field. And so he's got to pray whether God wants him to continue to wait and go back, or maybe God had closed that door and now he's got to pray for a different direction. It's kind of crazy when you're up in the air and you don't know what's going on. Matter of fact, his wife has a diplomacy. She's a diplomat, and so she should be able to come back because diplomats are able to come back into the Philippines. But for some reason, their visa has been rejected twice, and they've got to redo the application. And each time, there's different regulations, and so it's kind of a weird situation. But God works through circumstances, amen? And he's going to show his will, so continue to pray for them. So we support BEMA, Barry Williams. They go through. Every bit of the money, 100%, goes from them to the missionaries. And you can get an account of that to the missionaries. They'll say, yes, we get 100% of your support. Thank you. And then they send us a letter back. Thank you for your support of this much. Now, BBFI, Baptist Bible Fellowship International, out of Springfield, Missouri, BBC, big part of BBC, they have a missions office because they have so many thousands of missionaries that are on the mission field. They have to have people to get paid to make sure all the accounts are accountable. So the money we give to the BBFI missionaries, not all of it goes to them. Some goes to help with that. That is why this church supports BBFI International, the actual organization. So more of our money go to the missionaries. Amen? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to make account, give an account. We're trying to do the best we can to support these missionaries that go out on the field. Yes, some organizations do. You don't have accountability in some organizations. And so those are the ones we try to steer clear of. But there is a lot of it there. So please don't forget about missions. Don't think that we are here to try to mislead you in some way. We're trying to do the best we can to get the gospel out all around the world. And you know what? God didn't call me to go to Africa, but he did somebody else. Levi Wilson to South Sudan. He was here a few Wednesdays ago, and we're going to support him. So here's the idea. With that said, with the doom and gloom, with everything looking so bad, guess what? The only way we get to go is what? Up, right? If everything is so bad like that, the only way we get to go is up. That's all we can do is be better supporters, better servants, better stewards, better everything, right? So we got good news, and that's what I want to try to give you this morning. And so even if things look doom and gloom, God still wants your faithfulness. He did that with the people in the Old Testament. You know what he said? He goes, I'm going to allow Nebuchadnezzar. You know what God said? Nebuchadnezzar's my man. That's my elected official. You go, what? Why? And he goes, yep. And so I want you to submit to him. Some did, and they were blessed. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. Some didn't, and they were tortured and killed. Follow God's faithfulness wherever he tells you to go and whatever he tells you to do. That's what we're going to talk about, man. When faithfulness isn't enough, then what? What are you going to do if faithfulness isn't enough? You're going to look to it some other way. You're going to get up and you're going to walk out. You're going to find some type of excitement someplace else. Listen, we talk about this time after time. This church is a training ground for you to go out and do battle. Amen? But the problem is that people don't want to fight anymore. They don't want to fight. We live in such a culture where we want the theater. We'd rather be entertained. And sometimes it just doesn't cut it. And what happens is people get up and they walk away. You know, if not coming to church to be trained by the Word of God, if that's not enough anymore, then what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? You look for excitement in other ways. Matter of fact, there's churches that would have more emphasis on the worship than the Word of God. You get an hour and a half of worship and then 5 minutes of the Word of God. Matt Tucker said this. He said, King Saul chose David's music. Listen to this. King Saul chose David's music, but he rejected Samuel's words. Samuel's words was the Word of God. That's what God told Samuel to tell King Saul. King Saul chose David's music, but he rejected Samuel's words. You cannot grow spiritually if you choose the worship and reject the preaching. Amen? Let me say that again. You can't grow spiritually if you choose the worship and reject the preaching. When God's word isn't enough, you're going to really go someplace else. And so whatever you're looking for in church, it's probably not going to be here. We want to train disciples. We want to train soldiers to go out and fight in this world. Amen? And I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, and I'm going to step on your toes sometimes. The church is for the sheep, not the unsaved, not the goats. And the problem is that most churches want to sugarcoat the gospel. They want to water everything down, and then they want to go, well, let's bring all the unsaved in the church and then make it exciting for them. The church isn't for the unsaved. It's for the saved. It's your training ground to go do battle. Now, if the unsaved want to come in, praise God. Be friendly to them so they come back. Encourage them so they go back. Get their number so you can make a call so they'll come back. But here's the idea. If they're not born of the Spirit, they're not going to understand the things of the Spirit. And when they come in, unless they're entertained, they won't come back. Listen, I'll never be more entertaining than your cell phone. I'm just going to tell you that. Don't know if you know that's true. So when I get boring and you guys start to, I know who you are, don't. I don't know what you want me to do. I will never stop giving you the Word of God. And so R.C. Sproul said this, it is the task of the pastor and the church to feed the sheep. And if somebody comes in who is not the sheep, that's fine, that's okay. But we're not going to change the menu and give the sheep goat food. Listen to that one. Amen. Thank you. Culture plays a huge role in church. Why do you say that? Well, because it does. It shouldn't, but it does. How many of you remember years ago, and we won't talk about our age, or I should say Rob's age. I mean, I appreciate the kind words, but that's so awesome. See, I love him so much in Jesus. I just takes the focus off of me. I can't say that because I am. Body's getting some. Anybody know those little joints that hurt? And I can't say that he's the only old one. It's not the age, it's the mileage, though, so I'm still in the 40s. Anyway, listen, how many of you remember nothing being open on Saturday up till noon? Remember that? You had to go on Saturday. Matter of fact, during the week, everything closed at 5. You got off at 4, and everything closed at 5. You had to get in there as soon as you could to get stuff, whatever you needed done. But then on Saturday, it was open till about noon, 1 o'clock. And then Sunday, you couldn't find nothing open. Anybody remember that? Awesome. A lot of old people out there. It's not like that today. It's not like that today. Matter of fact, we're almost like Vegas now. Everything's open 24 hours. You can go get anything. Matter of fact, banking is open 7 days a week. Man, banking was Monday through Friday. That's a great job to have because you knew you didn't work weekends. Well, a lot of jobs are like that because you knew you didn't work weekends. But it's not like that today. That's all we do. We are so busy doing everything. I don't understand it. Now, culture played such a huge role, you didn't have nothing to do. So what did most people do? They went to church on Sunday, right? You didn't have anything better to do. So you go to church. What do you go to church for? You got to get some drama. That's because you couldn't get drama anywhere else, especially on Sunday. Nothing was open. But now you got social media. You got, man, you don't need to come to church to get church drama. You can get it on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, whatever you want. And here's the idea. So our culture has taken sports and things and everything. I mean, we got stuff on Sunday, practices. We've got, you name it, right? And then you get into and you go, so what are we teaching our kids? That everything else in that world is more important than you growing in knowledge and grace in God. And then we look back and look, man, I'm a failure and I'm at the top. So everything rolls downhill, so I got to pour it out on everybody else, like Rob. But when it starts at the top, listen, we all fail in some way. But understand, at some point, you're going to have to be accountable for your faithfulness. Because if I'm not entertaining enough, or you have been trained up that church and God and Christ and His Word is not important, when you get out of your teen program, guess where you're going? Back to everything that you've done in the world. And most of the times it's when you get children and you're like, wow, we better come back to church. I need to grow them up in the Word of God. And most of the time they're not getting anything at home. The Bible says that everything starts at home. And when you don't get anything at home, you push them off on church and say, well, the church aren't training my kids up in the Lord. We're supposed to add to what you're already learning at home. Are you growing? Are you teaching your kids? Because it's all about faithfulness, folks. We need to get into this because we're about out of time. That's all right. I got about an hour and a half. Just give me a little bit of time here. Let me. Rob, would you pray for us? We need it. Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I truly do. Because some people that I do that for, they get offended and, you know, I'm not old, but Rob's never said a word about it. So I just keep, you know, doing that because he's not easily offended. That's a good trait to have. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse 1 and 2. The writer says this. Think carefully about Jesus. Think carefully about this Jesus whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with his entire house, verse 3 and 4. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. See, we come to worship God, but we give more worship to the praise than to the one we're praising. Amen? We give more praise to the entertainment preaching than the word that's being preached. You got to give the focus where it's due. Moses did his job and he served faithfully, but it was all for Christ. And when Christ had come and did his job, he came to do it all for his glory, and he did it faithfully. Verse 5 and 6. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant, His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. That's reveal in Christ. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house. If we keep on, if we keep our courage and remain confident in hope in Christ. And you know, he's drawing off of the Old Testament principles of the priesthood, and they had a specific job to do. And so now that Jesus came, he is the Son, he has a priestly office, and we belong to his house. Matter of fact, the house of God is made up of God's people. Amen? And in Hebrews 3, verse 14, if you jump down there, the writer says this: "For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as we when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ." So when you place your trust in Christ, man, there's that excitement that you're like, all things are new. I got a home in heaven. Everything that I begin to learn is all new to me, and it's great. But then as you begin to grow, things begin to become stagnant. If you don't keep your service to Christ live and vibrant, what are you going to do with your faithfulness? It becomes irrelevant, right? But this is why Hebrews 10, verse 23 and 24. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm." Stay faithful to the end, for God can be trusted to keep his promise, right? That's what Israel, and so in Hebrews 3, he's talking about Israel, and they rebelled in their unbelief because they didn't believe God was able to keep his word. Do you believe God's able to keep his word? Amen? Do you believe every promise that he has given you is going to be performed in the day that you get there? Amen? And you continue on in that hope. That's a life of faithfulness, continuing on in the hope that we have, but we have not seen yet. And he says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." Motivate people. Stir people up. Get excited about serving Christ again. Amen? Amen. We need to think about ways that we can meet together. Corporate worship. That's why we come here. That's why we have this. We have this new fundamental, I don't know what it is, this new church stuff where people want to say, "Well, I don't need to go to church to worship God. I can worship God at home." Let me tell you something. God never intended church to be individualistic. God never intended church to be individualistic. God never intended for you to do church at home by yourself. It was always intended to be done in a group. That's what the tabernacle was created for, so everybody could come together and worship. That's what the temple was for, so everybody could come together and worship. That's why synagogues were used in the New Testament. That way everybody could come together and have a service. That's why we have individual churches. We all belong to Christ in the body, universal. There is a universal church. It's the body of Christ. Anybody who has named the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And then there's a called out local assembly. That's what ecclesia is. It's the church. That's what ecclesia is. It's the Greek word that we translate church. It's actually a called out local assembly. So you belong to a local assembly, but we're all part of the body of Christ. And that's why you have this. And praise God, it's not about a building, but praise God, he gives us a building to come together so that we can meet faithfully and grow in knowledge and grace of his Son. Amen? And that's where Hebrews 10, verse 25 comes into play. Don't let us neglect meeting together, as some do, but when you do come together, when you are together, encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Do you know what? Is Jesus coming back soon? Four of you believe that. Do you believe he's coming back soon? Okay, do you faithfully believe he's coming? Every generation said he's coming back. Do you believe he's coming back soon, based off the events in the world? Sure. But you know what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians? You remember that? We went over that. You should have remembered that from last year. These people stopped working, stopped doing anything. Matter of fact, they just sat there and did nothing. They're like, "Jesus is coming back. Cool. Come on, Jesus. I quit my job. I quit doing anything. I'm waiting on you. Just come get me." And Paul said, "You lazy person, get off your butt and get back to work. Until the moment Jesus Christ lifts us off the earth in the rapture, you get back to being busy for Jesus." Time's running out for those people. You have salvation. They don't. Amen? Faithfulness. That's all he's looking for, is faithfulness. He wants you to be faithful. Encourage people to be faithful. Encourage them to get back in the Word of God. Encourage them to come back to church. Encourage them to listen to the whatever God's calling them to do. We've been given a gift. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, Paul says in Ephesians 4, God died, went down, led captivity captive, and gave gifts to everybody so that you could exercise your gift in the church. Are you exercising your gift? Because if you're not, then you're not encouraging one another. God gave you a gift so you could encourage one another. Use it. Verse 35 and 36 in Hebrews 10 says this. So do not throw away this confidence. Trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need right now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all that he has promised. It's just like the Levite in the Old Testament. He had to be faithful to God. That was his job. He didn't get an inheritance in the land. God was his inheritance. And so he was to be faithful. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 15. The writer says, that's why the Holy Spirit says today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. See, when God calls for us to do something, he wants us to do it. It's for his glory and the benefit of other people. But most of the time we harden our hearts and we just don't stay faithful and we walk away. We just walk away. It's so much easier. You know, it's so much easier to stay in bed than it is to get up and do something. Yellow. That's the easiest thing. But the hardest thing to do is work. And that's what our Christian walk is. It's work. It's work. It's why it's called a walk, not a Christian sit or lay down. Amen? In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Now, let me give you just a little bit of this, because I think that doom and gloom is a little Nyla Berry, and he's got some awesome truth, and that was very truthful. But listen, Africa and that portion, that 1040 window, Israel, Afghanistan, Turkey, which is Galatia and Pamphylia and Phrygia and all those different regions, Greece, Rome, all those places, they were evangelized. Do your research, but this is great. When you talk about a map, somebody had to go through the land and map that out. Right? Do you know who mapped out most of Africa? Missionaries. Because as they spread throughout, go do your research. Somebody fact check me, just not right now. I don't want to see you on your phone. Go do your research. You'll find out that missionaries, as they spread across tribes in the land of Africa, they began to map it out. Show you where all the rivers were. How to get to the tribe, and they'd map it out. And then somebody coming in behind them, they'd know exactly where to go. Isn't that amazing? But listen, when a country rejects the word of God, then what are you going to do? All you're going to do is push God out. And we're going to be a 1040 nation right here in America for too long. We're going to need to be evangelized because it's not going to be about the Lord anymore. Faithfulness. It's like two of our military service. One is the Coast Guard, the U.S. Coast Guard, and their motto is Semper Paratus, which is Latin for always ready. And then, of course, the United States Marine Corps. Amen? All right. There's a Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis, which is always faithful. And that should be our heart's attitude, always ready, always faithful. Amen? There's a camaraderie there between those military services. Man, I tell you what, when I was in the military in the 82nd Airborne down Fort Bragg, North Carolina, we partnered with the Air Force, and places we shouldn't be, doing stuff we shouldn't. And then the Navy and the Marines, they partner up, and then it was amazing because whoever started the fight, they were the ones that got in trouble for it, so we're just waiting for somebody to start something. Because we know they'd be getting in trouble for it. But you had that team. You had that Army and Air Force and then Marines and Navy. And they'd battle it out and all that stuff. But when it comes down to the end game, when war breaks out, all four of them come together as one. And that's what we need. We need everybody to come together as one. Paul says in Ephesians that every part of the body is important. All right? I'm like the big toe. Because you can't stand if you don't have your big toe. That's what I heard. Because there you go. If I'm not around, you ain't gonna stand. Stand firm in Jesus. As long as you got your big toe. Listen, every part of the body is important, right? And if you have a part to play and you're part of the body, all God wants you to do is be faithful. Just be faithful. Skip through those real quick. We'll go through these. You've got them on the back of your sheet if you have those. Revelations 2:10, be faithful. 2 Timothy 4:7, he was faithful. Galatians 5:22, we haven't got to it, but we will. Faithfulness, that's being filled with the Spirit. Proverbs 3:3, maybe stop right there. We'll do that one. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness, let not it forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Take hold of that. Don't lose your faithfulness. For the most part, God doesn't want big things. You can do big things for God at a one-time event, but don't just stop there. God wants you to be faithful every day, every second, every week. I remember back at Community Baptist Bible Church, I remember that I hear the story, and I probably get the facts wrong, and I probably elevate it because I love to, you know, when you're telling stories, you got to kind of beef it up a little bit, right? Especially if the story's a dumb one, then you're like, I better add some stuff in there to make it good. But here's the idea. I remember Community Baptist Bible Church hearing the stories that back in the day, they had 2,500 students on a Sunday school on one time. I think they had to rent like 22 buses from, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if schools allowed them back then or whatever. They had 22 buses that went in and out and in and out and in and out, picked up 2,500 kids. Isn't that amazing? That's great. Praise God that it happened. But don't live your life 40 years later in one event that happened in the past. Hello. Come on. I'm telling you, man, just be faithful. Just be faithful with what God has given you, because that is a requirement. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, it says, this is how one is to regard us. We are servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Everything God has given us. Moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, man. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Paul says, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain. Keep going. Be faithful. Be faithful to the end. And so, it's kind of like investments. People like to think that if you just have tons of money and you dump that tons of money into an investment, you're going to get the most return, right? But I can take, at 55 years old, and take $50,000, dump it into an investment. And if my daughter took $150 a month or something, there's exaggeration, I'm just using the, come on, don't fact check me on all that. But if she took a certain amount a month when she's 18, by the time she returns to 55, she's going to have four times what I will. So it's not that God wants you to put this one big time event in. All he wants is your faithfulness. 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 And when you're faithful, you're going to get more responsibility. Amen? Faithful. Faithful. Faithful with a little, you're going to be faithful with a lot. When it comes to eternity, most people think you're going to be drinking pina coladas, sitting on the beach, relaxing for all eternity. I mean, unfortunately, people that think that you laugh about going to hell, they're like, hey, me and my buddies are just going to be partying it up. No, the Bible says you're going to be by yourself. Nobody's going to be around. It'll be absolute silence, and it'll be you bringing in the lake of fire forever. What a shame. People are deceived. And so here's the idea. When we talk about the eternal kingdom, what's going to happen in the eternal kingdom? Because it starts with the millennial reign. But does it end at the end of the 1,000 years? That's the eternal kingdom. Amen? We're going to be working and doing stuff all through the kingdom. And guess what? It's only going to be for those that have been faithful. Faithful with a little, faithful with a lot, it doesn't matter. Faithful. That's what God wants. And in the end, those are the ones that's going to be in charge of people doing a lot of the important work. In Matthew chapter 25, in the parable of the talents, verse 1, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like. So it kind of gives you the idea. And then verse 14, it goes on to say, for it will be like, and what is he talking, what's the it? It's the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's talking about. It's like a man who goes on a journey, and he called his servants, and he entrusted them with his property. He give 1 5, he give 1 2, and he give 1 1. And when he comes back, the one that had 5 gains 5 more. Now he's got 10. The one that had 2 gains 2 more, and now he's got 4. And then, of course, there's the one that had 1, and he didn't do anything with it. But it doesn't matter how much you're given. It just matters your faithfulness. Listen, when we talk about being faithful, be faithful. And we may get into this next week, maybe, but we talk about tithes and offerings. You ought to be faithful to give something to God, to his house, to his purpose. It starts here. And then above and beyond that, you should give to missions. Matter of fact, as members of this church, if you know, our Constitution says, as a member, this is what we believe. And so when you become a member, you by faith, by what you believe, you practice how we believe. Amen? So why would you come in and do something different? So in our Constitution, it says that our grace giving, and maybe we'll talk about that next week, but you give your tithe, your offering goes to the church first for the purposes here. This is our mission field, right? Then above and beyond that, we give to missions. And that goes out to missionaries. And then above and beyond that goes to specific missionaries if you want to support them, or individual programs like the Awana program or the teen program or things of that nature. And most people will be like, well, man, I don't know, maybe I'll just give $150 to the Awana program. That's great. That's awesome. And if you do that, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, if you stop getting Starbucks once a week, $5 cup of coffee, and you gave $5 every week for 52 weeks faithfully, do you know how much that'd be? Where's my mathematicians? It'd be $260. So instead of giving $150 one time, you can give faithfully $5, and you'll have $260 at the end. Wouldn't that be amazing? Do you know if you give faithfully, you'll have more as a result? Now let's just say you want to do missions. You want to give. Instead of $5 for missions, you probably want to do a little more. Maybe you give $20 a week. Do you know how much that is per year? $1,040. $1,040 to missions just from one person. And you know what would happen if 75 people gave $20 a week to missions? We'd have $78,000 for missions. Is that amazing? That is so awesome just by being faithful. Faithfulness. You don't have to give tons of money up front. You don't have to give tons of money one time. All God wants you to do is be faithful. Be faithful in his word. Be faithful with your giving. Be faithful with your time, with your talents, everything. Just be faithful. It's a choice. That's that word if. That's that word if that's always in there. If you're faithful. And I don't know about you, but we'll close with this. I want to hear these words when either Jesus comes to get me in the rapture or calls me home. In Matthew 25, 21, his master said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." So many so-called Christians who profess the name of Jesus, when they get there, will hear this one from Matthew 25, verse 26. "You wicked, lazy servant." That's a scary thought, isn't it? Hebrews says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And at the end, when you have no more time to do anything for the kingdom, those are going to be some scary words right there. Moses was faithful. Jeremiah the prophet was faithful. Could you imagine God saying, "Hey, I'm going to call you to be a prophet. You're going to serve me all your life. You're going to be my voice, and none of your people are going to listen to anything you have to say. And they're going to put you in prison and eventually stone you to death. Serve me. Thanks, God. Yeah, no thanks. I'm out. I'll be a statistic on that one." But he didn't. He served him all his life. Joshua, faithful to the end. John the apostle was a teenager when he became an apostle. And somewhere in his 80s, 90s, I don't know, but it was years later, some 65, 75 years later, he saw Jesus again. And from the time he was called to that time, he was faithful. Faithfulness, man, it's not about doing great, big, huge, one-time things. It's just about being faithful. Being faithful. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus himself was faithful. He is our example, and we should follow that example. Got faith? And if so, are you faithful? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for just the opportunity and ability to allow us to come, worship you, serve you, be a part of your program. What a gift to be a part of something, to go into a lost and dying world. You said, greater things will we do than what you did. You only witnessed and you died for us. Nothing will ever be done greater than that. You gave the ultimate sacrifice. But your influence was a very small area around Jerusalem and Galilee, and you didn't go into the world, but your church is. And we are your house. Your people are the church. We are your building. And we continue to build on that building the more and more people we add to your kingdom. And we're doing a great work, Lord. We went from Jerusalem out into the world. There is almost not any continent around the world that has not been reached by some missionary with the true gospel of your Son. And so we want to invest in those things. We want to invest in those people. And we want to invest in programs that are getting people saved, witnessing, discipling, training them up for them to go in their sphere of influence to do the same. Not big things, which is good if they do, but just being faithful. Just faithful. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning, maybe they don't know Jesus, maybe they don't know him as their personal Savior. The first thing is to be a child of God. Maybe they don't know what that is. Maybe they don't know what salvation entails, all that church lingo. I pray, God, if your Spirit is just cut them at their heart, let them come forward. We'll have folks here that will be willing to show them from your word what it takes to have heaven and eternal life. Because we can know for sure. And I pray, God, that they know for sure. And for your church, oh, we need to get some excitement. Faithfulness is enough. The reward that we will get on the other end, man, our eyes can't even see. We can't even think of the awesomeness of heaven. Anything we can think here, it's not going to be like. It's going to be far greater than what we can come up with. And so, God, may we be faithful. May we think and pray about ways that we can serve you faithfully. Not only with our time, our talent, our treasures, our finances, the gifts that you have given us. If you don't know the gift, Lord, I pray that we have a spiritual gifts chart. You can take a little test, kind of see what kind of gift you might have, and then test it out, try it to see if it's true. Lord, we need more people. Your people need to step up. Even though it's the big toe, it's still an important part of the body. Everybody has a part to play in the body, and we need to do our part. We love you, Lord, and we just commit this invitation to you, and we just pray you'd have your way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.